Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 10. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson is from Romans 15, verses 4 through 13. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson on this second Sunday in the season of Advent comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the third chapter, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent! For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, it's Advent, and Christ is coming. So what does it mean to produce fruit in keeping with repentance? And when John the Baptist refers to Jesus as the one who gathers the wheat and burns up the chaff with unquenchable fire, what's he talking about? We'll talk about all of this in just a moment. But first, I want to explain this strange phrase in Isaiah that Marty read, the stump of Jesse. And I'll start by telling a story that seems completely unrelated. I've mentioned this before. A friend of my oldest son named Elmer. He's the son of illegal, illiterate Central American immigrants who risked their lives crossing the border from Mexico into the U.S. in the late 1980s. Neither of them could read or write in their native Spanish, and they hardly spoke a word of English. But they worked hard, often for less than minimum wage, and Elmer was born during their third year in the U.S., and his sister 2 years later. Though Elmer's parents had no education whatsoever, they saw education as the ticket to an easier life for their children. They emphasized education, and their children excelled. And they all worked, all of them. In 2005, they pooled their money, parents and kids, and were able to buy a modest house. Then the Great Recession hit. Elmer's dad lost his job, and the house payments were just too much. They lost the house and all the money they'd put into it. It was a heartbreaking, gut-wrenching setback for all of them. Their dream was ripped away, but they had no choice but to carry on. So they did. And in 2009, months before graduating from high school, Elmer received notification that he'd been accepted to Harvard. At Harvard, Elmer, the son of illiterate, illegal immigrants, did what he always did. He worked hard. He graduated with honors, landed a coveted job with an investment bank in New York City, and before the age of 30, he bought his parents a house. More beautiful than they ever could have imagined. And they didn't have to worry about losing it. It's paid for. So here's why I told you this true story of Elmer. Because it's a story of the illegal, unskilled, uneducated, and unwelcome. Some would even argue the undeserving, who ended up being the unlikely recipients of incredible blessings. And that brings us to the phrase, the stump of Jesse. Marty read in Isaiah 11 this morning the prophecy that a shoot will come from the stump of Jesse. So who's Jesse? Jesse is the grandson of Ruth and Boaz from the book of Ruth. Like Elmer's parents, Ruth was also an alien and a menial laborer, an outsider who was scorned. But her grandson, Jesse, was the father of King David. God pledged to King David that the long-promised Messiah would be his descendant. So the tree of Jesse refers to the family tree, or the lineage of Jesus. But here's what was happening at the time of Isaiah. The family tree of Jesse had been chopped down and left a stump in this sense. The successors of King David had rejected God. The glory of King David evaporated. The hope of a Messiah who would save his people faded away. So at the time of Isaiah, The northern kingdom of Israel had already been conquered by the Assyrians, and the southern kingdom would soon be conquered by the Babylonians. It was during a time of great despair, defeat, and pessimism that Isaiah prophesied. And yet, his prophecy was filled with hope. There's a shoot that will come from the stump of Jesse. Life will come from death. Joy will come from sorrow. Mourning will break after a long and bitter night. The Messiah is coming, and everything will be changed. For who? Who will be the recipients of this life and joy and light? Well, according to Isaiah, the recipients of those blessings will be the most unlikely of people. Not who you would expect at all. They'd be people battered and bruised by life. People disappointed with God. People whose faith is wavering. Blatantly sinful people who desperately long for forgiveness. And people who are unwelcome and unwanted and rejected. Those are the recipients of life and joy and light from God. Those whose hope is in the shoot that will come from the stump of Jesse. In other words, those whose hope is in Christ alone, because they recognize they've got nowhere else to turn. Like Elmer's family. And that brings us to our gospel lesson from Matthew 3, where John the Baptist was out in the wilderness by the Jordan River. And streams of people from Jerusalem and the surrounding region of Judea were coming out to him. Why were they coming out to see this weird John the Baptist? Here's why they were coming: to confess their sin and be baptized by John, which was described as a baptism of repentance, which, as John explained, is a different baptism than the one we receive. These people were streaming out into the desert to be baptized by John because they recognized their own sinfulness and they hungered for forgiveness. They needed to repent, which means a change of mind. We usually think of repentance as a change of behavior, but the Greek word for repentance is metanoia, and it means a change of mind. And it leads to gratitude toward God and humility before others. And that's the fruit of repentance. Those who did not recognize their own sinfulness and failure and considered themselves holy and righteous, like the Pharisees and Sadducees, they got an earful from John the Baptist. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? John's point being, don't you dare trust in your own pathetic and worthless righteousness. Don't you dare put yourself on a pedestal as an example of righteousness while you condemn others. That's a warning for all of us who are impressed with our own godliness. The fact is, Jesus took the judgment, the unquenchable fire, upon himself on the cross. He became the chaff that's discarded, so that you can become the wheat that's gathered by our Heavenly Father and saved, despite our continuing sin and failure. And that's the hardest thing to understand, that Jesus Christ, who had no sin, became the worthless chaff that was burned, while you and I, who are full of sin, became the precious wheat that was saved. But that's the gospel, the good news of Christ. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus by making people deeply aware of their own sinfulness. Because people prepared for Christ are people hungry to hear the gospel, hungry to hear that they are forgiven. You know, a friend of mine from college who has a deep faith in Christ struggles with guilt. Outwardly, you'd look at her life and conclude that things are pretty perfect. She has a wonderful husband and healthy, thriving adult children and beautiful young grandchildren. But she grew up in a dysfunctional situation with an abusive mother who suffered from mental illness. Her environment was toxic, and she rebelled. As a teenager, she had an abortion and then another one. Unlike some of us, she has no problem recognizing her own sinfulness, not only because of what she's done in the past, but also because of what she continues to struggle with. This friend has told me on more than one occasion, "I can't hear the gospel enough." During Advent, we prepare for the coming of Christ. This friend of mine is prepared because she recognizes her own sinfulness and longs for the gospel words of forgiveness. All of us who are crushed by our own sin, and us who are saddened by the circumstances of our lives, and us whose faith wavers and waffles, Christ comes to you as you cry out to Him. For you who are weighed down with sin, He brings forgiveness. For you who are sad, He brings hope. For you who are afraid, He brings peace. So be of good cheer. It's Advent, and Christ is coming. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to recognize what you have done for us through Christ. Though we are sinful, Christ died for us, and we are forgiven and reconciled to you. Lord, cause this truth to fill us with gratitude toward you and humility toward one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.